The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
FOMO. I saw a tweet that he put out where he said, I'm taking all of my stocks and selling them. I'm maxing out my credit cards. I'm taking out cash advances, and I'm throwing it all into this cryptocurrency named Dogecoin. And we jumped on a Zoom call later that day. And then by the following morning, we were filming.
I'm Patrick J. McGinnis, and I coined the term FOMO. That's short for fear of missing out. And it's why some people end up following the crowd when they should be blazing a trail of their own. But if you want to achieve greatness in business and life, you've got to break free. Come on, I'll show you how. This is FOMO Sapiens, where we explore how entrepreneurial thinkers find the inspiration and the courage to build exceptional lives. Welcome to another episode of FOMO Sapiens, the show for entrepreneurial thinkers. I'm your host, Patrick J. McGinnis, and our topic today is, well, we're going to be talking to the star and a director of a fantastic new documentary called This Is Not Financial Advice that is out now on streaming. It's Apple, it's Amazon, places like that. And this is a movie that is really about the intersection of FOMO and investing. And it's a really, I've seen it 3 times. Now, why have I seen it 3 times? Well, I got a call from one of the producers of the movie, Martine, a long time ago. We're talking like 2021, saying, hey, we're doing this movie about FOMO and investing. Would you be willing to do an interview? I was happy to do that, obviously. Super cool. So I happened to be going out to LA, and I went to this house in the Hollywood Hills where we filmed. And then, you know, a couple years goes by, and there's a movie. It came out at Tribeca Film Festival in June of 2023. It debuted in a nice theater in LA in January of 24. I was actually there for that, which is super fun. And now it's out on streaming. So you can go find this now. You go to tinvafilm.com. You can see the trailer. You might recognize somebody, a friendly face in there. And you're just going to love this movie. It's really, really good. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. In fact, at one point I was, as you'll hear in the interview, I got cut out. And I still like the movie, even though I was in pain from having been cut out. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The film, the intersection of FOMO and investing, and just the lessons that one can learn. And this is a double episode because there's a lot to talk about here. And to do this, we're going to be talking with 2 individuals. The first is Glauber Pro Contesotto. He is an immigrant working multiple jobs and living in a 220 square foot apartment at the time of the filming. And he gambles his life savings on a joke cryptocurrency, which is Dogecoin. 2 months later, he turns $180,000 into $3 million, becoming the Dogecoin millionaire and a hero to his growing YouTube following. So his journey is absolutely insane. We're talking to him, and he will be joined by Chris Temple, who is the director of this film. And Chris is best known for directing and producing the feature docs 5 Years North, Salaam Neighbor, and Living on $1. His films have premiered at top film festivals like the Tribeca Film Festival and have been distributed globally by Netflix, HBO, Hulu, and PBS, among others. So that is a conversation. Now, as you know, I'd like to start every interview with the same question. We have a new one for season 11. And the question is this, which I asked to Pro. Tell me something unexpected you learned about yourself that changed everything.
That I was the one all along. I know it sounds weird, but let me explain. So throughout my life, I've always threw the hat in the ring for someone else. whether that was Lambo, for example, who's the artist that I was managing for the longest time. I believed in him so much. I almost feel like I believed in him more than he believed in himself. Not just that. That's one example. There were other periods of time in my life where I was always the player two to someone else's player one. And I've always wanted to do so much and leave no gaps, no space for failure, that I would literally surround myself around someone and literally childproof everything around that person so they could not fail. And in one way or another, there were so many different occasions and different time periods where I was let down in one way or another by someone, like whether it was a family member, whether it was somebody I work with, that it wasn't until I kind of redirected myself from being that player two to someone else's player one to taking myself and making myself player one and kind of putting all my strengths, all my efforts, all my energy, all my time behind me and actually believing in me and saying, you know what, you don't have to make it based off of someone else's success. You can make it based off of your own success. And I think that comes from having, you know, early years of self-doubt, early years of just like, I knew I was good. I knew I was capable. But my capabilities were always based on hard work and effort. It was never talent driven. It was never like, oh, I'm talented enough to do this. It was always like, I can do the groundwork. I could do the legwork, which is why I feel like it led to me always going behind someone else and being like, oh, this person's talented, so let me put all the work in, and then boom, it should work, right? But it wasn't until I put all the eggs in my basket and was like, I can do this. And when I did that, ultimately is what changed everything, because that's what happened with Dogecoin. It was like, I had a gut feeling about it. I knew I was right in the past about certain things that I had gut feelings about. And I was like, you know what? This is one where I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't care who tries to discourage me or tell me something other than what I truly believe in. But I believe this is going to work. I believe Dogecoin is going to be huge. I believe it's going to be all over the TV, all over the news. And I need to be an early adopter. I need to be one of the first to really invest heavily into this cryptocurrency. And that's when I became player one.
Yeah. That's when you went from being the supporting actor to being the star, which you are, of a new film that is out now. This is not financial advice. Yeah. And this is, if you, everybody needs to go watch this movie, because Pro is a star. Like, you're incredibly compelling to watch. Like, you really are. I don't even know. It's like, I was like, wow. Chris Temple, you're the director of this movie. We're going to talk all about this film. Pro's going to tell us the story from his perspective. But before we get into that, I do want to bring you in here, because Chris, what is this movie about for folks who may be saying, well, that's a nice title, but what is it about?
Yeah. I mean, I think to understand what it's about, you got to understand where it began. And I mean, I think really this film began with my own investing FOMO, that I was looking at markets in early 2021, right? And I was seeing everybody else getting rich. It felt like people were, you know, whether it was crypto or GameStop or just regular stocks, everything looked like it was going up. And I just had this feeling like I needed to get involved or I was going to miss out. And so I started investing myself. I started throwing money into really speculative assets and being a part of this. And through that, I met other community people online and Reddit, Twitter, et cetera, who were making really even much more speculative decisions. And that's where I met Pro online. I saw a tweet that he put out where he said, I'm taking all of my stocks and selling them. I'm maxing out my credit cards. I'm taking out cash advances, and I'm throwing it all into this cryptocurrency named Dogecoin. And we jumped on a Zoom call later that day. And then by the following morning, we were filming, and we filmed together for the next almost two straight years, following the roller coaster ride of what it's like to make a financial decision like that. And I think, you know, Pro is one of four amazing individuals in this film that from all different walks of life who have different approaches to money. And I think, you know, I think the film really is about the psychology of money, of risk and fear and greed, and how for each of us, it's a little bit different.
What? You want to know something funny, Chris? Really quickly, just to interject. I have that first conversation that we had recorded on camera.
No way.
I filmed it on my
phone. Isn't that illegal?
Not in the state of California.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah, yeah, it's one party consent. Wait, I love that you turned it on the documentary filmmaker, and I
had my camera going right next to me as we had the entire conversation. I think it was like an hour interview we did, right? About 40 minutes.
Well, I was looking through my emails today in preparation for this, and I got an email. Let me see, pull it up right here. I got an email from one of the producers of the film on April 6th, 2021, saying that there was this director making a movie about GameStop, and would I be interested in talking about the FOMO elements of it? Here we are 3 years later. The movie is about Dogecoin, really. I mean, there's some of the other stuff too, but it's really, Doge is really a big heart of this film. Mm-hmm. And Pro, you know, I really, you know, I had sort of followed Dogecoin as a meme, but I really didn't know much about it until I saw the first draft of the film and I started to learn about your journey. Take us back to how did this come into your life, Dogecoin? Because, you know, for folks, I won't spoil the ending, but you put everything into Dogecoin and you wrote it up from, you know, almost nothing to being worth millions of dollars. So, but when did you first discover it?
I first discovered Dogecoin in the depths of Reddit. That's funny. I just thought about that. But I was on Reddit because of Wall Street Bets.
Yeah.
So I was learning about GameStop, AMC, because it started, a lot of people don't know this or don't think about it, but it started with meme stocks.
Yep.
Stocks. That's where it all began. And it went from meme stocks to meme coins on crypto. So that's where I first heard about Dogecoin. It was it's funny enough, it was a screenshot. And I wasn't even on Twitter like that back then. It was a screenshot of a tweet from Wall Street Bets chairman or something. And the tweet was, has Dogecoin ever been to a dollar? Or has Dogecoin ever hit a dollar or something? And that tweet went viral on Twitter. Somebody took a screenshot, posted it on the Wall Street Bets Reddit. And that's where I came across it. And I was like, Dogecoin, let me look this up.
FOMO.
Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO sapiens? Now that right there was Portuguese, and as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know I speak four languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. Happy birthday. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close the books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs. Those are key performance indicators in one efficient system. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know the show is all about making better decisions. And with this product, you can make better decisions because you have all the information you need right in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/FOMO. That's netsuite.com/FOMO to get your own KPI checklist. Because you know what? KPIs are better than ice cream. netsuite.com/FOMO.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org.
paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
FOMO. So that's great. But then to go from there to like putting everything, I mean, like what happened there? Like, what was it that convinced you?
Yeah. I mean, I found a lot of memes on the internet without throwing my life savings into them.
Here's the funny thing. So I found out about GameStop too late. That's what it was.
Oh.
I put in some money in the GameStop. The day, it's so crazy how everything worked. I put in, I don't know, $20,000 or something like that, or $10,000 or into GameStop the day before Robinhood pulled the plug. The exact day before.
Oh.
I put it in. It was around $300 and something. It had blown up all over the media. It was all over the news. Everyone was buying GameStop to short it, right? To go against the shorts, right? So the very next day, like it's supposed to go to $500. Everybody's kind of seeing this where it's going to go, and you can see it. I don't know if you can still do this on Robinhood or not, but you could. It was almost like a forecast. Like you can look at it and like the pressure.
That's insane.
There,
I did not know that.
It's supposed to hit $500. That's what, like, wow. The pre right before the bell rang, that's where it was looked at to go, right? And so I was like, okay, this is amazing. This is going to go to $1,000. This is going to go, because there's nothing to stop a retail investors to get together and do this. And so sure enough, the opening bell happens, and Robinhood disables the buy button. You can no longer buy more GameStop.
Yeah.
But you can sell, though. You can sell everything. You just can't buy anymore. Weird, but in any case, the stock plummets, and so I lose maybe half of my money or something like that. And it was that kind of learning moment that I was like, okay, something's gonna happen. Something has to happen, because people aren't just gonna be frustrated and then dissipate. Like, this frustration is going to become something else, right? The retail investor is mad, pissed, frustrated. The first thing I did was get back on Wall Street Bets. I'm on the Reddit page. Everyone's pissed. Everybody's mad, right? And you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of people on there saying, I'm going to take all my money out of Robinhood. Or saying, I'm selling all my stocks. I'm pulling out of the stock market. Everybody's like scrambling. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Right. And I knew at that moment, this was an opportunity for something major to happen, to shift. All that frustration is going to shift elsewhere. And all that money, all that liquidity from GameStop is going to go somewhere else. Right. And so that's kind of when I saw the Dogecoin tweet, right. A screenshot on Reddit. And I was like, okay, let me look this up. I looked it up, and sure enough, I was like, okay, I mean, obviously, it took a lot of time researching and all this stuff, but I came to the consensus that everything's going to shift over to Dogecoin, and it made sense for me for a number of reasons, but one of them being that Dogecoin was on Robinhood, the app.
Okay.
So the retail investor, majority of them are already—
Just click a button and you can go straight into it.
Exactly. They can literally pull out of the stocks in Robinhood and just put the money in crypto on Robinhood, right? Instead of having to wait days for it to transfer to the bank and do X, Y, and Z. And at that time, you could only buy Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Dogecoin on Robinhood.
So you didn't have like a MetaMask wallet. You're doing this all through Robinhood.
Yeah. I didn't even know what MetaMask was.
I got to tell you. Yeah. Like the first time I got it and I was like, wait, I have to keep a password buried under my, you know, under my parents' house. Like, this doesn't feel like a very easy use thing. Okay. So you do that. How much did you buy? Like, how much did you put in initially, and at what price?
Okay, so here's another thing. So like I said, it was a number of like high, like very massive, but very specific things that happened to me. So the GameStop thing was one, right? Me putting in money the day before it pulls out. Mm-hmm. It's the next day, right? This is the next thing that happened that also played a major role. I put in $40 into Dogecoin at a penny right after I saw that screenshot on Wall Street Bets. I was like, okay, it's on Robinhood. This is easy. $40, right? I had maybe $100, $200 just sitting in Robinhood that hadn't been invested. And so I put in $40 in a Dogecoin just to dip my toes in the water, right? At a penny. What happens the very next day after that? Dogecoin goes to 8 cents from a penny in a day, and my 400 turns into 350 or something crazy, right? And so it was almost like, oh, wow, this is what can happen. And so that's when I was like, drop everything I'm doing, stop everything I'm doing. What is Dogecoin? Mm-hmm. What is cryptocurrency? What is the likelihood that this happens again? And when it does, I need to be ready and I need to have a lot more invested than $40.
And so you ended up going big. I mean, it was several, it was more than $100,000, right?
Yeah, it was almost $200,000. It was $180,000. But here's the thing, people, like, it's so funny because people online are like, oh, who just has $180,000? You know what I mean? Like, your dad must be rich. You probably got some type of inheritance or X, Y, and Z. Your dad's a millionaire, whatever. The $180,000 was made through stocks. Yeah. I had started investing a couple of years before that. So the actual money that I had personally made that had gone into Robinhood was maybe $20,000 to $30,000. Mm-hmm. That $20,000 to $30,000 turned into $180,000 through investing. And back then it wasn't a Tesla. I was not early by any means, but in 2019 is when I started investing in Tesla, when the stock was plummeting because they were not at the brink of bankruptcy, but it seemed like a lot of people were saying Tesla was going to fail because it was kind of like their make or break year. If they weren't able to pull together this Model 3 production line, it wasn't going to happen. And so I, you know, put money into there and it actually turned into $250,000 at the peak of it. But like I said, I invested in GameStop, lost some money. I invested in AMC, lost some money. So that 250 at the peak came down to 180, and that's when I pulled out of everything and sold everything, and I sold out of all the stocks and went all in on Dogecoin.
And what was the price of good Dogecoin at that point when you did the 180?
Between 3 and 4 cents.
Okay, perfect. FOMO.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
FOMO. Now, Chris, I want to pick up here with you because you meet Pro. We've all just been hearing the story. I mean, it is cinematic. I mean, it's the kind of thing, like, it's incredible that you had the, because what's, I mean, one thing about being a documentary filmmaker, you could film for 2 years and have nothing to show for it. Yeah. But here, it's you film, right. I mean, it's crazy. Like, that blows my mind. It's like, wait, the odds are worse than venture capital. But you meet Pro, and then you see the story that you want to tell. And then you have a couple other people in the film that are also, you know, in different ways involved in this ecosystem. Talk about what you saw. Like, what was it about Pro's story and about, you know, the movement and other folks in this space that you know, what was the narrative that you were trying to tease out?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was immediately compelled by Pro. I think that the New York Times described him as very affable. Pro is great.
He is.
But there were a couple things, right? Like, when you start out making a documentary, the beauty of it is that it's real. So you don't know where it's going. I didn't want to tell a story of the past of what had happened with GameStop. That, when I started looking into it, that quickly became not very interesting to me versus looking at where is this going from here and what do we follow in real time in real people's lives over the next few years? And there was only a couple different scenarios that could play out. I mean, on one hand, he's right and Dogecoin becomes, you know, worth a lot of money and he makes a lot of money and sells it and lives as a millionaire happily ever after. The other world was in which what actually ended up happening in the film where Pro really rides up this joy of, as the momentum of Dogecoin is building, he rides it from $1 million to $2 million. And then everyone's telling him to sell. And then from $2 million to $3 million. And everyone's like, well, now you have to sell. But you understand all of the psychological triggers that were happening along the way when you're in it. It's a lot harder to know when the top is than looking backwards, right? I mean, hindsight's always 20/20 when you're making an investment. And I think it was so helpful for me, and I hope for other investors who watch this film, to see actually how hard it was for Pro and other people in the film throughout this process to really make financial decisions on the fly when everything was happening so quickly, and these price price fluctuations are out of control. There's a number of other factors playing in, and you've got Probe started building up an audience of a couple hundred thousand people on the internet who are encouraging him to stay holding, to never sell, to be a part of this, thanking him for the work that he was doing to lift up this coin, and that together we can stick it to Wall Street. You know, there was a real movement kind of being built and narrative being built around that. And then I think second was the, just back to the plain old psychology of FOMO, that it's really hard to sell when you feel like you might be missing out on future gains. So, you know, if you sell too early, then, and you look around and someone else is making a bunch of money, you feel like an idiot. You know, and there was one day that I remember really vividly with Pro where we went to Costco to go shopping for an hour. And in that 1 hour, when we got back, Pro had made over $180,000 in Dogecoin in the price increase in that hour that we were at Costco. You know, wow. And here I am, you know, my team were broke documentary filmmakers, like sweating, holding this camera. And I'm like, I should get in. Like, what am I doing?
How, yeah, did you buy any, Chris? Like, I was wondering, like, because I would have, I ended up buying some NFTs in there at some point. I was like, Jesus, everybody's doing it. I'll do it. You know what I mean? So did you ever buy any, Chris?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I actually bought Dogecoin even before I met Pro.
Oh.
It was part of my like getting sucked into this. But then, yeah, when we're, you know, we're filming and I'm seeing the price go up, and then I take out my phone and I'd buy $1,000 of Dogecoin on my phone, you know, while holding the camera during a certain scene, because I'm just that frustration around seeing other people and comparing yourself to others is really, really difficult. And I think like it's a lesson that I hope people will learn again through the film is, you really cannot compare yourself to other people and the decisions and what they're doing, because it can drive you absolutely insane. And right now it's very easy to compare yourself to everybody in the world all at one time, right? You know, we can look and you can hear that Warren Buffett made $70 million since we started this podcast, and that might piss you off and you might feel like you're missing out on some opportunity. But you got to do what's right for you and figure out your own relationship to money, your own relationship to risk. And that's why, again, I loved having four different characters in this film with very different profiles around risk and decision-making around diversification, to help people kind of come to terms with what they think is right for them.
Now, I think it's important here for everybody to understand what's going on with you here, Pro, because one of the things that I didn't realize till I saw the film, you know, I knew your persona, your online persona, Dogecoin millionaire, all this stuff, but you don't come from money. Your family immigrated. You grew up in pretty humble means. And then your own ability to participate fully in the economy is really limited because you don't have papers. You're undocumented. So you can't just go out and get a job. Every time you get a job, and we see this, you talk about this in the movie, you're working at different jobs that are pretty low pay. And then they find out that you don't have the papers or there's some sort of issue and you lose your job. So as a result, you have to take a completely different path to making a living. So explain that. Talk about what the dynamics are for you.
Well, it's so weird. Like I was taught one thing by a lot of different people, you know, go to school, do really well in school, get A's and B's, best grades you can possibly get, go to college, finish college, do well there, and then you will, in return for all your effort and energy and time spent and money, you will earn a high paying job, right? That was very early on thrown out the window for me. I couldn't do things the traditional way. And even though I had completely signed up for it, like I was ready to go. Like elementary school killed it. You know, I was killing the coloring. I was a beast at finger painting. Then middle school, killing it. You know what I mean? Like high school, like I got high honors. I graduated high school with high honors, and I just couldn't finalize that. I couldn't go to college and finish that, right? So, okay, that's out the window. Now what? What's next for me? Let me get a job. Let me get a job like everybody else. I couldn't go down the street and get a job. I couldn't, let me go work at McDonald's like most people and climb the ladder and corporate ladder and then become here. And, you know, like everything that was traditional.
And why was that you couldn't do that?
Because I didn't have papers.
Yeah.
And so I had no social security number. You know what I mean? Exactly. I didn't have the traditional, the tools. I had no tools. I had to make it with nothing. And so I had to, okay, since I can't get a job like everybody else, let me make my own job, right? So I picked up a camera. I bought a video camera and I started shooting music videos for artists and musicians in the area, getting paid $100, $150, $200, right? And so I kind of got tossed into this world of self-employment and entrepreneurship very, very early on, because that was my only option. It was like I had to carve out my own personal lane that no one else could relate to and none of my friends understood. And so that's just kind of how it went my entire life. And it was always under the terms of, oh, it'll get better. Oh, something will change. You know, there's going to be some type of amnesty. Something's going to happen where you'll be okay at some point. And that never happened. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the route that I had to take throughout my life. It's working. It's finding anything that I can be good at and building skills in different aspects of life where I can charge someone else for what I can do and they can pay me for what I do. You
know? Yeah. There's this concept. We had Felix Salmon on the show, who's a financial journalist. And I don't think he invented this per se, but he wrote about it in his new book, Ladders and Trampolines, that the old way of doing things is ladders. If the ladder isn't there, then why not just take the risk on the trampoline and see if you can just skip up and, you know, do it faster. And so that explains, and I think this was kind of what I talk about in the movie, actually, is like, if the system isn't working for you, why not just try something else? So that is what you did. Now, we're going to talk about how that went and where things ended up and what all the learnings are on next week's episode. So everybody, we'll see you next week. And until then, take care of yourselves, FOMO sapiens.
FOMO.
If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on the web at FOMOSapiens.com or PatrickMcGinnis.com, where you can get all kinds of free resources to live a more decisive and entrepreneurial life. FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music is by Mike McGinnis, and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstro. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me at FOMOSapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOSapiens.com.